Okay, let's unpack this. It's almost a cliche, isn't it? We see companies pour immense energy, loads of resources into creating something truly novel, something potentially game-changing. But then it's like they completely overlook this really crucial next step, actually protecting those groundbreaking ideas. Have you ever wondered why even the most innovative players sometimes treat patents, trademarks, like a nice to have, something that can wait?
That's the intriguing puzzle we're tackling today. We've got this collection of information here titled The Innovation Paradox, and it really drills down on the central question. Why do companies, especially those right at the forefront of innovation, so frequently neglect their intellectual property strategies? And maybe more importantly, what are the real-world repercussions of doing that?
And to bring this down to earth a bit, let's use a fictional company. We'll call it Aurentech. So imagine this place, just a hotbed of cutting-edge tech, AI breakthroughs, maybe advanced robotics, novel materials. Their R&D teams are firing on all cylinders, constantly inventing stuff.
Sounds impressive.
It is, but the surprising part, initially, they just lacked a formal, robust plan for safeguarding all that intellectual firepower. It's almost like designing the most secure vault ever.
But forgetting to actually lock the
Precisely.
door? Yeah, I see the analogy.
Precisely.
And Aurentech's initial situation, as it's laid out here, it really frames our objective for this deep dive, doesn't it?
It does.
We want to get to the bottom of why this IP neglect is so common. Why does it get pushed to the side? We'll also be looking at the very real dangers companies face when they don't make IP a priority. Serious stuff.
Definitely.
And finally, we'll explore practical, actionable steps any company can take to fundamentally shift how they think about intellectual property, moving it from like a perceived legal burden.
To a genuine strategic advantage. That's the goal.
Exactly. Our aim here is really to equip you, the listener, with knowledge you can hopefully apply, maybe in your own context.
So let's dig into the why first. What are the core reasons these incredibly smart people, these well-funded organizations, seem to, well, drop the ball when it comes to protecting their valuable creations?
The material we're looking at highlights several key factors that often push IP sort of to the periphery. The first seems to be just a fundamental misunderstanding of its actual worth.
Misunderstood value. How so?
Well, what's interesting here is how IP is often perceived. Patents, trademarks, even trade secrets. They can be seen as optional extras, almost like a backup plan you hope you never need, rather than, say, concrete assets that can drive tangible financial return.
So not seen as directly contributing to the bottom line, maybe.
Not always, no. And there's also this feeling sometimes that navigating the whole world of IP law is incredibly complex, intimidating even.
I can see that, especially for engineers focused on the tech.
For sure, it can be a real deterrent for people deeply focused on the technical details of their innovations.
It's seen as a legal headache. I think that's how some of the engineers at our example company, Aurentech, apparently felt.
It captures it perfectly.
And then you mentioned this earlier, there's just the constant churn of day-to-day business. It seems like competing priorities play a massive role here.
Oh, absolutely. If we zoom out a bit, just think about the pressures, right?
Like what?
Launching new products, running marketing campaigns, hitting those crucial sales figures, these things are all immediate. They have very visible consequences if you miss them.
True, very visible.
So, long-term IP strategy, it can easily get lost in the shuffle when teams are slammed up against tight deadlines under constant pressure to deliver.
The urgent pushes out the important.
Pretty much. The sheer operational tempo within R&D, within business units, often just leaves limited bandwidth for thinking about proactive IP stuff.
And let's not forget the budget. That always comes up, doesn't it?
Always. It can be a really tough sell sometimes to allocate significant funds to something as, well, intangible as a patent can seem.
Especially when the immediate benefits aren't always crystal clear or guaranteed.
This raises a really important point about justifying the spend, because that link between filing a patent today and seeing direct revenue tomorrow. It isn't always obvious,
You're right.
right?
It's more long term.
Exactly.
Got
And
it.
there's always that element of uncertainty. Will this invention even result in a valuable patent? So leadership can sometimes hesitate, understandably, to commit substantial resources to filing fees, legal counsel, all that.
But it's a false economy, perhaps.
That's the irony, isn't it? Neglecting IP because of short-term budget worries often leads to far, far greater unforeseen costs down the line. It's classic false economy thinking.
Okay, and one final reason that seems to pop up. many companies, especially maybe smaller ones or ones just starting to grow fast, they simply lack the internal expertise.
That's a critical factor. Yeah. Without someone on staff, someone in-house who truly gets the intricacies of intellectual property, companies often end up relying solely on external legal help. And that typically only happens when a problem blows up, like an infringement claim or something.
Reactive, not proactive.
Precisely. Proactive IP planning really suffers in that kind of reactive environment. We saw this with Olerin Tech. Their marketing team was apparently laser focused on speed to market.
Get it out the door.
Yeah. Without really stopping to consider the underlying IP implications of what they were launching.
So these things kind of weave together, don't they? The misunderstood value, the daily pressures, budget fights, lack of expertise. It paints a clear picture of why even super inventive companies can falter on IP.
It does.
But what are the actual dangers? What happens when they do neglect it? The material we have outlines some pretty significant risks.
Indeed. And the situation Olerin Tech apparently faced with their competitor, Chermotech, it really throws these risks into sharp relief.
What happened there?
Well, it turned out Chermotech was diligently, quietly filing patents on technology that was remarkably similar to what Olerin Tech was busy developing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And because Olerin Tech hadn't established that documented IP foundation, hadn't filed their own stuff, suddenly they faced serious legal uncertainty, a huge threat to their market position.
That sounds like a nightmare scenario.
It really does. And it leads us right into the very real, tangible risks any company could face.
Okay, let's delve into those tangible risks then. First up is the potential for lost market exclusivity. This one seems fairly obvious, but maybe unpack it a bit.
Well, what's interesting here is just how easily competitors can capitalize if your core innovations aren't protected. It's almost too easy.
Not so.
They can essentially adopt your inventions, maybe make a few minor tweaks, all without a significant R&D investment of their own.
So they piggyback on your work.
Exactly. If you haven't secured your IP early on, once they introduce a comparable product, your initial advantage, your pricing power, your market presence, it can just evaporate. Incredibly quickly sometimes.
And that first-to-market edge is so crucial in many sectors.
Absolutely vital. Missing that window because you neglected IP. That can have really long-term negative effects on your brand, your bottom line, everything.
Okay, risk number two, legal vulnerabilities. Yeah. It's almost counterintuitive, isn't it?
Right.
You're the inventor, but you're the one exposed legally.
Exactly. If we connect this to the broader legal landscape, by failing to protect your own innovations, you run the very real risk of someone else patenting similar ideas before you do.
Even if you invented it first.
Even then, in many jurisdictions, it's about who files first. So suddenly, you might find yourself in this really uncomfortable position.
Like what?
Like having to license your own technology back from a competitor who beat you to the patent office.
Ah.
Or being forced to redesign your product to avoid infringing their patent. Or facing costly, time-consuming lawsuits.
Yay.
Whereas a robust patent portfolio of your own, it acts as a significant deterrent. It makes potential infringers think twice. And crucially, it gives you that essential freedom to operate. Meaning, you have the ability to actually commercialize your own inventions without inadvertently stepping on someone else's IP rights. It's fundamental.
Got it. Okay, another big downside mentioned is missed revenue opportunities. It's not just defensive then.
That's absolutely right. It's not just about building walls. Well-protected IP can become a really valuable source of revenue itself.
How?
Through things like licensing agreements or maybe collaborative joint ventures. But think about it without formal patents or even clear records of what you've invented.
Why would anyone partner with you or pay to license it?
Exactly. Potential partners have far less incentive. And investors, too, often view a lack of IP protection with, well, suspicion.
So by not securing IP, you're potentially leaving money on the table.
Significant money sometimes. You're leaving potential income streams completely untapped.
And speaking of investors, a weak IP portfolio can definitely raise red flags in the financial community, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. This raises a really important question about how investors actually assess value.
What are they looking for?
When they're evaluating a company, especially one that claims innovation is core to what they do, they want to see a clear strategy. A plan for protecting its unique assets.
Makes sense.
A weak or non-existent IP portfolio. It suggests a lack of a sustainable competitive advantage. What they often call an economic moat around the business.
No moat.
And that can lead straight to lower valuations or maybe even make venture capitalists hesitant to invest at all. They might just see it as a fundamental weakness in your whole long-term plan.
Okay, another risk, one that maybe gets overlooked sometimes. Inadvertently stepping on someone else's toes. Those inadvertent infringement suits.
That's a really interesting point, yeah. Because your own R&D team, they might be working diligently developing cool new features.
Thinking they're being original.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without even being aware that they're potentially infringing on existing patents held by somebody else.
And if you haven't done your homework?
Right. If you haven't done thorough due diligence researching the landscape, securing your own IP rights, you could face lawsuits from those patent holders down the line.
Which sounds expensive.
Oh, the financial implications.
Mm-hmm.
Legal defense, potential settlement. They can escalate incredibly rapidly, often far, far exceeding the initial investment that would have been needed for a proactive IP strategy from the start.
Okay, and finally, perhaps one of the most painful consequences, the potential for these really costly pivots and massive amounts of rework.
Yes.
Imagine having to completely redesign a key product feature because you discover an IP conflict late in the game.
Exactly. Without a structured approach to IP planning, you could invest huge amounts of time, energy, money, developing a product or a core technology, only to discover much later that it infringes on someone else's patent. Bang.
And then what?
Well, best case, it forces you to completely re-engineer essential components. That means significant delays in your roadmap, a huge waste of engineering resources.
Worst case.
Worst case. Entire product lines might have to be shelved, just scrapped, if there's simply no viable way to design around a competitor's protected technology.
Wow. And that's not just a financial hit.
No way. That kind of forced rework is incredibly demoralizing for the teams involved, really damaging to morale.
So the potential downsides are, they're significant.
Outraging.
But thankfully, the material also talks about how companies can make a shift. How they can start viewing IP as the crucial strategic asset it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Our example, Olerintech, they eventually go through this transformation, right?
Yes, exactly. After experiencing those close calls we talked about, Olerintech's leadership, they had a wake-up call. They came to understand that patents, trademarks, trade secrets, they weren't just legal formalities to tick off a list.
They were more than that.
Much more. They were essential building blocks for their long-term competitive strategy. So they started actively incorporating IP discussions right into their core product development process.
Giving it real weight.
Giving it the same level of importance as, say, budget approvals or product launch timelines. They even began to encourage their engineers to see the patent application process differently. Not as some unwelcome admin task, but as a valuable strategic investment in the company's future. And that fundamental shift in perspective, it's absolutely crucial for any forward-thinking organization.
So how do companies actually do that? What are the specific ways they make that shift happen? The key actions they take to elevate IP from, you know, an afterthought to a central pillar?
Well, one of the most fundamental steps is to actively align your IP goals with your overarching business objectives.
Okay, connect IP to the business strategy.
Exactly. Think of it this way. How can your patents, your trademarks, your trade secrets, how can they directly contribute to achieving your broader growth strategy?
Give me an example.
Okay, so maybe a strong patent portfolio in a specific tech area could be a key enabler for generating licensing revenue down the road.
Right.
Or a well-protected trademark is obviously essential for building and maintaining strong brand recognition as you expand into new markets. When your IP strategy is clearly and directly linked to these larger business goals, it naturally becomes a much more compelling, much more justifiable investment for everyone involved.
That makes perfect sense. It's not just about collecting patents like stamps. It's using them strategically. What else is critical for making this shift work?
Another vital element is establishing a consistent, reliable process for periodically reviewing innovations. You just can't afford to rely on chance discoveries or individual employees happening to remember their good ideas.
Need a system.
You need a system. Implementing regular IP checkpoints, maybe involving engineers, product managers, legal counsel is essential.
How often?
Could be structured monthly meetings, or maybe just a standard part of each product's development milestones. The main goal is always to proactively identify and capture novel ideas before they get overlooked or forgotten.
Catch them early.
Exactly. This regular process gives you ongoing insights into potential patent applications or maybe valuable trade secrets you need to guard closely.
So it's about building this formal recurring mechanism for actually identifying and discussing potential IP rather than just relying on random conversations in the hallway.
Precisely. And to make sure this actually gets the attention and resources it needs, you absolutely need buy-in from the very top.
Executive leadership. The board.
Critical. Strong C-suite and board-level engagement is non-negotiable, really.
How do you get that?
By clearly demonstrating how a robust patent portfolio can tangibly, measurably increase company valuations, how it can effectively mitigate potential legal risks, how it can even serve as a deterrent to competitors.
Show them the value.
Show them the value. Then executive leadership can justify allocating consistent budget and resources to IP protection. And when the board starts setting IP-related goals alongside traditional metrics like sales targets or launch dates,
then it really becomes embedded, a fundamental business imperative.
Exactly.
It sounds like it needs to be woven into the entire product development lifecycle, doesn't it? Not just tacked on at the end.
Absolutely. Forward-thinking companies, they integrate thinking about patent protection into each critical stage of their product roadmap.
From the very beginning.
Right from the initial proof of concept phase, all the way through alpha, beta testing, everything. At each of those key design checkpoints, they actively ask the question, does this new feature, this technical advance, does it potentially warrant IP protection?
Mm-hmm.
This proactive approach helps avoid those last-minute scrambles to file patents just before launch, and it significantly cuts the risk of having to redesign products later because of some unforeseen infringement issue.
And it also seems like recognizing and actually rewarding the people generating these innovations is a key part of the puzzle, too.
Oh, yes. Cultivating a company culture where employees feel genuinely valued for their inventive contributions. Incredibly important.
How do you foster that?
Well, implementing straightforward incentive programs can make a big difference. Could be bonuses for successfully filed patents, could be just public recognition within the company for innovative work. Simple things sometimes.
And they send a message.
They send a strong message that IP is a valuable asset. When inventors feel appreciated, feel acknowledged, they are far more likely to proactively come forward with their new ideas. Even those seemingly minor improvements that might actually hold significant patent potential.
Okay. And finally, the material really underscores the importance of breaking down those internal silos, fostering seamless communication across different teams.
That's exactly right. Effective IP management isn't just the legal department's job. Not at all.
Who else needs to be involved?
R&D teams, obviously. Sales and marketing have insights too. Even executive leadership, they all possess crucial pieces of the overall IP puzzle.
So get them talking to each other.
Exactly. By establishing regular, open communication channels where these different groups can share updates, insights, market intelligence, companies can make sure potential IP opportunities are spotted much earlier.
And make sure patent decisions actually align with the business strategy.
Precisely. And with the evolving demands of the market, this kind of cross-functional synergy, it ultimately leads to stronger, more commercially relevant patent filings, filings that are both technically sound and strategically valuable.
Okay, so we've covered why IP often gets overlooked, the significant dangers of that neglect, and those fundamental shifts in mindset that are needed.
Yeah.
Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What are some concrete, practical steps a company can take, like right now, to actually elevate their IP efforts?
Mm.
The example of Olerintech setting up a formal IP committee seems like a very tangible starting point.
Exactly. Olerintech's decision to create that formal IP committee, bringing together engineering, legal, product management, meeting regularly, monthly, it's a prime example of putting those strategic principles into practical action.
And they use a tool as well.
Yeah, their adoption of an AI-powered IP discovery tool, something like Tangify, also shows a commitment to both efficiency and thoroughness in their approach. But beyond those specific examples, there are several actionable steps that pretty much any company can implement.
Okay, let's break those down. Actionable items. First, establish an IP committee, or at the very least, schedule regular IP-focused check-in meetings. Why is this so crucial, and how can a company actually do this effectively?
Well, as we've discussed, IP can just so easily fall by the wayside if it doesn't get consistent, dedicated attention.
Right. Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. So by bringing together a small, focused group reps from R&D, legal, product, you create a dedicated forum, a place where new features, prototypes, ideas are formally reviewed and discussed regularly, not just mentioned in passing.
And how to make it work practically?
Well, companies should aim for relatively brief meetings, maybe monthly, maybe quarterly, doesn't have to be super long. Using a shared list of ongoing projects, maybe product roadmaps, can help provide a clear, focused agenda.
Keep it structured.
Yeah. The key is just ensuring that each function, engineering, product, legal, comes prepared to discuss any new ideas or potential IP issues that have popped up. This consistent scheduled attention helps prevent those last-minute scrambles and really reduces the risk of missing valuable patent opportunities.
Okay, second practical step. Actively invest in IP discovery tools. This sounds like a powerful way to use tech to streamline what can be a really manual process.
Precisely. Manually sifting through tons of technical specs, research papers, complex design notes, it can be incredibly time-consuming. And honestly, it's prone to human error. Things get missed.
I can imagine.
So AI-powered platforms, they can significantly enhance this initial stage. They can help identify potential inventions much earlier in the whole development process.
How do you choose one? Or implement it?
Well, when selecting a tool, it's generally wise to focus on integrating it step by step. Maybe target specific areas in your workflow where you know you have challenges or bottlenecks rather than trying a massive overhaul all at once.
Start small, maybe.
Could be. A tool like Tangify, for instance, can help efficiently scan and review emerging innovations. See if they meet the criteria for a formal invention disclosure. It helps you uncover novel aspects you might otherwise miss, and ultimately, it makes the later stages of your IP filing process more efficient, more cost-effective.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, what about the money side? We touched on budget constraints earlier. How can companies budget for IP more strategically?
The fundamental shift here, really, is to start treating IP protection not as some discretionary expense or an optional add-on.
But as essential.
As a standard, absolutely necessary component of your overall R&D budget. Simple as that.
So give it its own line item.
Definitely. Companies should establish a dedicated line item specifically for IP-related activities in their annual or quarterly budgets. And just as importantly, track the return on that investment by monitoring key metrics like number of successful patent filings achieved, revenue generated from any licensing deals, maybe even measurable reductions in the risks associated with potential infringement suits.
Make it visible.
Make it visible. This clear budget visibility helps ensure IP becomes a deliberate, ongoing investment rather than something that gets easily deferred or just forgotten when money gets tight.
Okay, another actionable step highlighted is to actively track and appropriately reward innovation within the company. What are some effective ways to encourage employees to actually disclose their inventions?
Yeah, the core idea here is just that employees are far more likely to proactively share their potential inventions if they see a direct benefit or get meaningful recognition for their creative work. It's human nature, right?
Makes sense.
So companies can implement simple, straightforward invention disclosure forms, digital paper, whatever works. Just make the submission process as easy and accessible as possible.
Remove friction.
Then pair this with a well-defined incentive program. Could be symbolic rewards like company-wide recognition, maybe features in a newsletter.
Sorry.
Or it could be modest financial bonuses for patent filings.
Something tangible.
It significantly boosts employee participation and engagement in the whole disclosure process. And over time, consistently doing this helps capture valuable hidden insights and fosters a broader company culture where teams are actively encouraged to collaborate on developing potentially patentable ideas.
Okay. And the final practical step we should discuss. The crucial importance of engaging with legal counsel early. Why is it so vital to bring the lawyers in sooner rather than later?
Oh, this is a big one. Engaging legal counsel early in the product development lifecycle, not waiting until the 11th hour just before launch, can prevent a whole host of potential problems and costly mistakes down the line.
How does it help?
By bringing lawyers, whether they're in-house or external specialists, into key product checkpoint meetings, giving them early-stage design details, tech specs.
They can spot issues.
They can proactively identify potential legal conflicts or overlaps with existing patents. They can help determine the most appropriate IP protection strategies to pursue for that specific innovation. And they can flag critical upcoming deadlines for filings.
So no nasty surprises.
Fewer nasty surprises, definitely. This early involvement of legal expertise just ensures a much smoother, more efficient path from that initial innovative concept right through to the formal IP filing. It helps avoid rushed filings, potential legal challenges later, and that costly rework we talked about.
So it really sounds like Olerintech's turnaround, where they actively found those hidden inventions, used a tool for better disclosures, talked to lawyers early, and filed multiple valuable patents. It really underscores how effective these practical steps can be.
Absolutely. Olerintech's experience, as described here, powerfully illustrates that neglecting IP is just, well, it's a fundamentally short-sighted approach, even for the most innovative companies out there. Mm-hmm. By making a conscious, sustained commitment to proactive IP measures, including strategically allocating budget, setting up effective cross-departmental committees, leveraging AI discovery tools, they successfully turned IP from what was a perceived afterthought
into a growth engine.
Into a powerful, reliable engine for future growth. And the result, attracting significant investor interest, unlocking exciting new licensing opportunities. It paid off.
So for you, our listener, let's just try and bring all these crucial points together concisely. We've taken a deep dive into why even highly innovative companies often stumble on protecting their IP.
Yeah, things like not fully grasping its value, the constant pressure of daily tasks, budget limits, maybe not having the right expertise in-house.
And we've explored in detail the significant risks of that neglect on losing market exclusivity, facing legal battles, missing out on revenue, scaring off investors.
Accidentally infringing on others, needing costly rework. It's a long list.
It is. But we've also emphasized the critical importance of shifting to a more strategic mindset, where IP goals are tightly linked with the overall business objectives.
Right, which includes regularly reviewing innovations, getting that crucial buy-in from the top, weaving IP into product development from the start, recognizing and rewarding your innovators, and making sure everyone's communicating across different teams.
And we've also provided that set of practical, actionable steps you can consider implementing. Things like?
Like setting up an IP committee or regular check-ins, investing smartly in discovery tools, budgeting properly for IP protection, tracking and rewarding innovation, and talking to your legal counsel early and often.
Mel, we really encourage you to take these insights and just consider them carefully within your own specific context. Whether you're part of a large corporation, maybe a dynamic startup, or perhaps just someone keenly interested in how innovation actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Take a moment. Think about whether your own endeavors, or perhaps those you see around you, are adequately prioritizing this really crucial aspect of intellectual property protection.
And this leads us to a final thought for you to maybe ponder on your own. Considering the incredibly rapid, accelerating pace of innovation we see everywhere today, what seemingly small, maybe even overlooked idea or internal process within your specific field, what might actually possess far greater inherent value and because of that be far more vulnerable to being copied or misused than you currently realize if it's not properly understood, strategically protected, and actively managed?